There's an event coming up. It's actually a dual event, actually, at the Cornwall Library on Saturday, March 25th. Of course, in the past couple of years, we all became very committed to virtual, having lots of presentations done virtually. Well, we're back into the realm now where you can actually go and listen and see and talk and ask questions of the person. And you can also do it virtually. The Cornwall Library is presenting a great program, which is coming up on March 25th, beginning at 4 o'clock. And it will feature Priscilla Gilman. She is part of the author talk that they're doing, which is The Critic's Daughter, her latest book. Priscilla, nice to speak to you today.
Wonderful to speak to you too, Marcel. I'm a longtime fan.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. What's this is the interesting thing about the period we're in is COVID, of course, is not gone, but we're now dealing with differently as human beings and actually getting along okay. During this
Yes.
period, did you use that like year and a half period to write more, to invest more time into seeing what you want to write or not?
For me, I had my boys, my two sons, one of whom was a sophomore at Vassar in March 2020, came home and was home studying virtually. And my younger son was a junior in high school and he was at home studying. So it was pretty crazy. It was like the three of us all on Zoom all day. So I didn't really have more time to write. I would say I probably had less time to write. Also because my son in high school was launching his college search, which he had to do entirely virtually. But I did do a lot more teaching. So I was reading and teaching more literature than ever. Everybody wanted virtual book groups because they couldn't go out in the world. So I was leading maybe 8 to 10 book groups a month at the height of the pandemic.
So now you are a former professor of English at both Yale and Vassar, and now interesting to talk to you about your kids. You must have quite a take of the past year and a half. I think I had it easy when I graduated high school in 1971. I think the students that had to go through school and apply to college in the past year and a half had it very tough. Do you agree with that?
It was very difficult. Every college visit was virtual for my younger son. We went to tons of webinars, and he fortunately had gone to visit Yale in January of 2020 to go to Harold Bloom's memorial service. Harold Bloom and he had had an email friendship. So he had been on the campus and he ended up applying early to Yale, and he got in, Marshall, in the fall, in December 2020. And I always say it's the only good thing that happened in 2020. So it all worked out. It all worked out. But it was very challenging.
So let's go back into your when you delved and got your education, went to college. Did you want to be somebody that wrote books and you did the teaching and the professorial thing before that, and then kind of went into writing books?
When I went to Yale undergrad, I went straight into the PhD program at Yale and then got hired in my fifth year of graduate school. I did not think of myself as a writer. I thought of myself as a teacher. I wanted to teach literature. And I left academia after 4 years teaching at Vassar on the tenure track, in part, and I adore Vassar. It's a marvelous school and I loved teaching there. But I have my older son is autistic. And my younger son also had learning disabilities. And I just could not be the mother that I needed and wanted to be and be on a tenure track. So, and I also ultimately I worked as a literary agent and then published my first book about my son with autism and became a whole different career for me. I'm a book critic for the Boston Globe also. I still teach literature and I now have written two mainstream books. I never thought I would do that. No. No.
Well, let's talk about the book. Once again, coming up at the Cornwall Library, it's either via Zoom or actually going to the event. The Critic's Daughter. And what I found interesting about this, when I looked up at it, you grew up on the west side of New York City in the 70s, and
Yes.
you had of course, a very, very famous father. And when I was growing up, not in the 70s, but in the 50s, we lived on the west side. My father was a very famous comic, and when I look at you,
Wow, I did not know that. Wow.
When I look at what you grew up with, your mother was a literary agent back then. Your mother and father got divorced. My mother and father didn't get divorced, but they separated, and it was a
Oh.
wild, crazy time for me as a young boy, and I would imagine you must have had a very wild and different, I'm not gonna say difficult, but different time when you were growing up with a famous father and a mother that was also very, very, very a powerful literary agent.
Yes. It was a magical childhood in so many ways, in the sense that, my mother represented Toni Morrison, Tom Wolfe, Bob Caro, Hunter S. Thompson, Anne Rice, Michael Crichton, the list goes on. And my father taught at the Yale School of Drama. He went there in 1967. He was the drama critic for Newsweek. He was the drama critic for The Nation in the 80s, but taught a lot of people who went on to become famous actors: Meryl Streep, Henry Winkler, David Alan Greer, and many people who went on to become famous playwrights, directors, et cetera. But I didn't think of these people as famous people. I just thought of them as my parents' friends at the time. And there were a lot of magical, wonderful, creative, strange, a lot of them strange, some of them challenging and difficult characters, going in and out of our house on the upper apartment on the Upper West Side, in our house in Weston, Connecticut.
What's interesting about that, and this is where I think I could connect with your story so much. My father had friends in it that were just absolutely wild that would come to our house when I was younger. And my I always everybody's so amazed. My godfather was Jimmy Durante. My godmother,
Oh my gosh,
I mean,
wow.
I was around those people. We were around people like Jackie Gleason. We were around people, all famous comedians, and Sammy
Wow.
Davis Jr. And yeah,
Oh.
so I had a great, very, very, very young life. It was a very interesting life. I would travel with my father. We would go to shows, but it was a different life than anybody else that I knew as a kid had. And we would go to Las Vegas for the winter, and he would perform there. Then we go to Florida at early late winter, and then come back and work on the East Coast. So
Wow.
it was your did your childhood seem to go by in a flash with for you? I know it went by for me in a flash, and I was wondering, is this what kindled for you to write this book?
Fortunately, we lived in a building, 333 Central Park West, that was filled with intellectuals, artists, writers, editors, et cetera. And so I did have this cohort of friends, because you were saying you felt very different from other kids. I did have this cohort of friends my own age who were the children of my parents' friends and compatriots. And so I did feel accompanied in that way. It did go by in a flash. I mean, I remember it all vividly. And it's a continual source of nourishment for me. I will say that at the same time that my book is intended to be a complicated elegy and reckoning for and reckoning with the legacy of my father, it's also meant to be a kind of elegy for and reckoning with the loss of an old New York, an old intellectual culture, the way the arts, literature, theater, music, dance, et cetera, were valued in a way in the 1970s that I don't think they are today.
You know, but you face some very interesting problems when you were growing up. Your parents, of course, their marriage situation, your dad's life, which had a lot of different portions to it, and you seem to have come out of it okay. I remember I was my father had used drugs, was an alcoholic.
Wow.
My mother was a Broadway dancer, but she eventually just retired and lived up in Connecticut. My father was not was demanding in a different way, where my mother was very demanding. But you know what? It all turned out okay, and I think I used a lot of the information that I saw and soaked in as a kid, as part of my ability to grow up. Do you think that inadvertently, what you saw as a younger person soaked into you and made you the type of person that you are?
Yes, Marshall, what a life you've had. Wow. And I very much identify with what you're saying. I think, you know, my father died of lung cancer and he was an addict. I mean, you know, we didn't call people who smoked addicts back in the day, but he was absolutely addicted to cigarettes. He used them to write. He used them to think. He used them to cope. He also smoked pot when he was younger. He smoked cigars, lots of cigars. And I always feared that he would die of smoking. And I think even though I was into theater and, you know, had artsy friends, I never put a cigarette in my mouth. So that's one way that, you know, his example sort of shaped me. I also, you know, my parents were friends with Fred Exley, the famous writer and alcoholic, who was my mother's client, wrote a fan's notes about his obsession with the New York Giants. And I think I was always very principled and disciplined around substances, because I saw the terrible effects that they had on a lot of my parents' friends, many of whom died too young, because they abused substances or smoked addictively or compulsively. And I think that I learned by example, both positive and negative.
We are speaking with Priscilla Gilman once again, Cornwall Library, The Critic's Daughter. The book is a memoir. It's by the way, when we put this interview up on our on-demand page, there'll be links where you can purchase the book and find out more about the book. But better yet, you can actually find out more and really get the lowdown by going to the Cornwall Library on March 25th at 4 o'clock, or you can Zoom it. If you go to our page, our on-demand page, you'll see where you can click to get it's. By the way, it's free, but you can click to make your reservations. It's very interesting to see this book, and I was wondering, were you at all tortured about the process of maybe writing it, or is this something that for several years you said, you know, I've got to put this down on paper?
I would say I was somewhat tortured. Yes, it's very challenging to write a family memoir, to write about real people. My mother is alive, you know, my sister, who's a big character in the book, my stepmother, my brother. I write about a lot of people who are famous in the book, who flit in and out of the pages because they were in my life and my parents' lives. I did start writing this book. I did conceive it more as a book initially about my father's cohort of critics: Stanley Kaufman, Anatole Briard, Christopher Lehmann-Haupt, a number of critics. It evolved into more of a family story. But I will say, Marshall, the way to deal, if there are any aspiring memoirists listening to this, I think for me, I've written two very personal memoirs now, which is so crazy because I was an academic and you're not supposed to write about yourself. You know, you're not supposed to put there's not supposed to be an I on the pages that you write. But my father also wrote a memoir, right? He wrote a lot of beautiful, I wouldn't call them academic books. He wasn't really an academic. He didn't have an advanced degree, but books about literature. And then he wrote a very personal memoir. Whenever I would have those feelings of, oh gosh, how will someone react? Or, you know, you have to put those aside. You have to write with a commitment to telling the truth as you see it and as you experience it, and not think about how it's going to be received, how somebody's going to respond to it. Because if you're worried about that, you're not going to write a good book, and you're not going to write an honest book, and you're not going to write a book that can connect with people. So, you know, I think that's my best advice, is just write for yourself or find one or two readers, my editor, my agent, you know. And my editor would often say to me, if you're worried about, you know, how so-and-so is going to react or so-and-so is going to perceive something, you know, I can help you with that later on, but you have to get the authentic and true and honest story down on the page first.
Well, you know, I'm just talking to you. I know I compartmentalize in what I do and with what I bring out with people about my father and about my mother. Mm-hmm. And my brothers, I have two brothers left, and my sister passed away about a year and a half ago. But I compartmentalize, and I bring them in to a tune of I bring them into the good parts of the story, and I relate the rest about what happened with my dad and my mom to the fabulous parts that they lived, but also the influence my father's, I'll call them shenanigans now.
I like that word. My father would like that word too.
But you know, the pale he cast over the family as a whole. So I think that anybody who likes to read, likes to write, I think that they can get something from you by going to this. And of course, you're going to be open to questions at the end, right?
I love doing Q&A. Absolutely. Yeah. As much Q&A as they'll let me do, I'll do it.
Well, I think it's going to be a great event. The Cornwall Library just lines up. You know, we're lucky around here. We've got a lot of great libraries that do a lot of great things, but the Cornwall Library seems to pack some powerful punches when they present these. So the author talk, once again, is coming up at the Cornwall Library, and also via virtual, if you want, The Critic's Daughter, on Saturday, March 25th, 4 o'clock, with Priscilla Gilman at the Cornwall Library. You can get more information at the Cornwall Library website, or like I said, you can go to robinhoodradio.com, click on On Demand, click on the interview section, and we'll have a little bit on the book, also our interview here today, and also links that you can click on. Priscilla, what's next for you now that you're at this stage?
Next for writing wise, I haven't quite decided, Marcel. I'm working through a few ideas. My blessing and my curse as a writer always, even when I was an undergraduate at Yale, was I have too many ideas. And I go to my professor or I go to my agent and I say, okay, here are five things. And he's like, okay, you have to pick one. So we'll see. I'm teaching extensively. And I do want to say one thing about the Cornwall Library. I love the Cornwall Library. They did a fantastic event for my first book, The Anti-Romantic Child, and it's very exciting to be coming back there.
All right, Priscilla, it's great to talk to you and meet you.
Great to talk to you and meet you too, Marcel. What a life you have had.
I can't complain. It's been interesting.
Yes.
All right. Well, have a great time, and I hope everybody gets out to the Cornwall Library on March 25th. And thanks for spending some time with us, Priscilla.
Oh, thank you so much, Marshall. It was a pleasure.